Hi, and thanks for tuning in to the EndpointSecurity.ca podcast from Positive eSolutions. I'm Robbie Ferguson, and through the course of this podcast, combined with our blog, we want to provide you with a free resource to be able to educate yourself and your staff about the cybersecurity issues that are affecting you and your company in 2019. First, just a quick bulletin. Here at Positive eSolutions, we don't tend to toot our own horns much, but it is great when we get good news from our company partners. James Chalmers, the Director of Sales at ESET Canada, just contacted us to say, and I quote, "I am very happy to tell you that Positive eSolutions has been recognized as our 2018 MVP for ESET Canada. Congratulations, your ongoing engagement with us, your growth, and general support of ESET has not gone unnoticed at the highest levels, and we definitely feel Positive E is well-deserving of this award," unquote. We were recognized at the ESET North American Partner Conference at the Hard Rock Hotel in San Diego this week. So there you go. Some industry endorsement that recognizes the work that we continue to perform and which we love to do in ensuring that you, our clients, stay safe and secure. Now on with the show this week. The Internet of Things and the Industrial Internet of Things continue to usher in new levels of confidence for consumers and industry alike, but these come with hidden dangers. People's smart home devices, like door locks and smart thermostats, make life a little easier and safer on the home front, while cloud-based devices for industry save time and increase productivity for workers around the world. Their sheer usefulness comes from the fact that these devices and tools are connected to the Internet, either directly or through routers or other devices. Now, this means that all of these things are inextricably connected together. So, is that really a smart thing? Joining me today is Tony Anscombe, a global security evangelist and industry ambassador for ESET. Tony was with us a few weeks back as we laid out some of the predictions for 2019. Tony, welcome back.
Hey, great to be here again.
Tony, a basic question to start us off today. At this point in technology history, so we're at early 2019 as we record this, which is bigger, the industrial Internet of Things or the Internet of Things? And in other words, industry versus consumer markets.
Okay, well, firstly, I think we need to kind of try and define what we mean by IoT and IoT. Because IoT has this big consumer lump in it, as you just mentioned, but IoT, you know, there's different definitions out there. Does it include smart buildings, smart cities? Does it include automotive? Or are we talking about sensors and automated predictive technology in manufacturing, oil, gas, utilities, etc.? So if we take that latter part, just manufacturing, etc., IoT has been around a lot longer. If you have a manufacturing plant with robots on it, etc., you know, those production lines have been using sensors to look at predictive maintenance for a long time. And actually, if you look at analyst predictions for 2020, they already predict that IoT is about double the size of IoT. Wow. So it's a much bigger industry.
Okay. And what falls in between? You kind of alluded to the fact that, you know, IIoT versus IoT, and there's some gray matter in the middle. What falls into that space?
Well, this gray piece in the middle are smart cities, smart buildings. Think about an office building today. If we were to build a brand new office, we would put in air quality sensors. You would put in things that monitor people movements. So you'd know where people are in the building, so you could selectively turn on lights or turn on the heating or turn on the air conditioning, and actually save a lot of money. In fact, I think one of the hotels in Las Vegas actually recently, last year, put in IoT sensors into one of their buildings purely to look after air conditioning. So they're only air conditioning places where actual people are, so for example, in rooms. And I think the last I saw was they've saved in one building around $2 million a year. Just in air conditioning costs. So it means our buildings are actually generating, they're living and breathing and generating data. And when you analyze that data, you can look at how to actually increase productivity or how to increase the environment for employees and the company.
Yeah, and for millennia, we've been saying, oh, did I remember to turn off the lights before we left? Or did I remember to close the garage door? So the thought of IoT or IIoT being able to do those things for us automatically, it really is the natural evolution of technology. Are there particular areas of industry where IIoT are really taking off?
Well, let me give you a great example, actually. One example is where you have manufacturing plants. So, for example, Airbus, the aircraft manufacturer, use IIoT devices in their production line. It increases safety. It increases production. It allows them to do predictive maintenance on when they see robotics actually breaking down, so they can actually stop the production line or take that robot out and put a new one in. Without loss of production, so it increases productivity. But they also gave their employees on the production line wearable technology to increase safety. So they, now the employees actually have IIoT wearable glasses, which also improves quality because you can see whether the employee is actually doing exactly the right thing. And of course, in aircraft design, we want to make sure that they want to make sure that absolutely the right thing is done, because aircraft safety is paramount.
Wow, that's amazing. Absolutely amazing. It's run through my head like how machine learning can play into all this types of these types of technology, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But one of your colleagues, ESET senior security researcher Camilo Gutierrez Amaya, recently pointed out how the humble home router is becoming a hub for home-based IoT traffic. Because of this, Tony, he says that with lax password security in those devices, this is becoming a real serious point of weakness. Can you pinpoint like a similar sleeper technology in industry that people should be looking out for, looking more closely at?
Well, I think there are some big differences here. I mean, typically IoT devices we put into our home, you would want to drag out your smartphone in just a moment and unlock the door for the Amazon guy to come in and leave your package. So therefore, the devices we use as consumers, we naturally want to share data across the public network, and we don't have the facility to store the data. Mm. Well, now if you move into, you know, let's go back to my Airbus example, if you move into a big manufacturer or enterprise in that way, that data probably never leaves their network. That data is probably on their servers, behind their firewalls, and there is a huge difference here. However, that doesn't mean there's not the same vulnerabilities. Yeah, if you take any computing device, it runs on software. Even if it's not obvious there is software running the hardware. So, based in the actual firmware of the device itself. And all these, you know, we all know that software has vulnerabilities. All software has vulnerabilities. And it's a continual game of updating the software to make sure those vulnerabilities, as they're found, are patched, you know, those bugs are fixed, and add additional security mechanisms are put into the devices. So are there similarities? Yes. Are there similarities across the public network? I think those are more limited. Unless, of course, you're talking like a HVAC system, say in the building you're sitting in.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we had that discussion, and you know, you used that example of the HVAC system. We talked about what happened at Target and, you know, those kinds of things. Let's reiterate that.
Well, and you may have a sensor on your HVAC system where an engineering company who do the outside maintenance on that system may actually have a connection across your network, and therefore part of your company's infrastructure now is actually connected to the internet, so they can do remote diagnosis, maintenance, maybe turn the heat up and down. Because one of the big problems there is if they've got access, then potentially a hacker can try and access. And is it something the IT security team are thinking about? You know, they're probably sitting behind their desks worrying about customer data, machines, etc. Are they actually thinking about the industrial room in the basement of the building and some remote diagnostic port? And a hacker potentially could come in and turn up the heat, or more importantly, you know, turn up the air conditioning and suddenly make your building uninhabitable. Now, you know, for an office, yeah, it could be really disruptive, but now think of a hospital.
Oh, dear.
If you turn up the heat in a hospital, you probably have to evacuate. So it can be life-threatening as well. Oh, do we expect to see the new ransomware? Well, my colleague Stephen Cobb actually has termed this recently siegeware. Mm. Yeah. So potentially there is a growing concern here that actually as you put more of these IoT devices in place, that actually we're giving attackers a new place to go and attack our companies and our infrastructure.
Yeah, and you kind of you mentioned how companies may have that data stored internally on servers. So you think about IIoT and you think, well, this is not going out on the internet. And we fall into that kind of complacent position where we believe that we have control over our data because it's stored in-house or it's on our own infrastructure. But when you have that one entry point, it could be just one entry point. It could be that one computer that we've forgotten about because, you know, somebody used to use it to remote into their desktop at the office and they have administrator privileges on the network. And now all of a sudden we've got this entry point. I heard about a company this week that is on the verge of going out of business because one server got compromised and then the attacker was able to wipe out all the data on all their connected servers because the server that they were able to compromise had access to all of those other devices as an administrator.
And if I'm thinking of the same hack, not only did they take out all the live servers, they took out the backup as well.
Yeah, everything. Yeah. The company is destroyed, and it's tragic. And you just don't think that one server is going to be an entry point for all of those things that you otherwise would think are secure because they're on your internal network.
Yeah. Well, there's one good tip there, isn't it? Don't have your backup server connected to the same network.
Yes. Get that backup off-site. Take it away so it's physically separated from the network, physically separated from the building, because we don't know what types of disasters could occur.
Absolutely.
Tony, as we know, the terms artificial intelligence and machine learning are used in all sorts of ways, and I wanted to touch on this. What steps are being taken to use AI and ML to chase down hackers in a proactive way? Because I think about what could be used, like pattern recognition, anomaly detection. Those things aren't new, but are there newer developments like, say, precognition from the movie Minority Report, for example?
Only when Tom Cruise is working for you as a CISO. But it's a really interesting subject. Firstly, you know, let's try and define AI and ML. Artificial intelligence really means when a machine starts learning and can create its own algorithms. So pretty much I think everything that's done today is more about machine learning, but commonly called AI, so artificial intelligence. But think about how we, you know, here at ESET, we use machine learning to categorize things as they come in. So we've got all this rich data from all the endpoints. We collect all this data. We look for the bad stuff, and then we can start looking to see how we identify new bad things as they come in. And it becomes more and more efficient the more and more data you have. Mm-hmm. Could you start doing predictive? Could you turn and say, well, the person three doors down from me, as in the Minority Report, might one day become a hacker? I think we're a long way from that yet.
but I've got a son at home that I just said today, that boy might become a hacker. Make me proud, boy.
Well, that's human instinct, not artificial intelligence. But you also raise a really good point. So you said about the analytics. So if you could collect all the company's data together, can you look for the anomalies in traffic, for example? You know, if you've got 10,000 machines and 999 of them have a particular traffic pattern, you've got this one that keeps connecting to some server you don't know about and it's going to some strange place, well, you should go investigate. Mm. And only the power of data actually allows you to see that. And it's only in the last, I would say, 3 to 5 years where data storage has become low cost enough, available enough, and the skill sets of data scientists and analysts are out there that you can actually bring those skills to place.
And that is a very onerous task for us IT admins. So is that something that we're going to see artificial intelligence, machine learning start to take over in the industry?
It will play a part. Look, let's be really clear. I think your example actually just then, you may have met somebody you think could become a hacker. Yeah, machine learning and artificial intelligence are great. They're supplemental to human expertise. Yeah, because you can have data output, but you need an expert to sit there and understand the output.
All right. So what are your comments, Tony? Even your thoughts or worries about the industrial Internet of Things in general? And what recommendations would you want to pass along to IT specialists and even the C-suite regarding the impact of IoT on security in general?
Well, like I said earlier on, there are lots of common things here. You know, all these devices are running software. They've all got they're not. Some of them are not built with security in mind. You know, they're built for functionality and feature set in mind. Yeah, so make sure that actually devices that you're putting into your environment have been built with security, you know, from the outset, not added as a later stage or not even there at all. But make sure that you're thinking about those devices, and when they're connected to your network, you're making sure they are not vulnerable. They are in the right place in your network. You know, maybe some of them belong in DMZs. Maybe some of them, you know, should have software updated more frequently. Who has access to them? Why do they have access? You know, do all the features need to be turned on? One of the big things with any connected device as well, where is it storing its data? Is it, you know, is it passing data back to you? Is it also still talking back to the manufacturer of the device? Is it got this other connection? Understand where data goes, what data is being collected, and who has access to it. So there's lots of considerations in there. But let's be really clear. I think we're also on the cusp of a change in humanity. Mm. You know, we talk about IoT, you know, IoT as being kind of the kettles and toasters and the webcams and the locks on our doors. IoT, looking at robotics and things like that. But when we get cities and buildings connected, you know, when you think about Googling for your local best coffee in the coffee shop, yeah, in 2 years' time, you might actually be saying, I'd like to have the cleanest air in the city and the best coffee. Which shop has the best air quality at this moment? Because I want to sit outside. There'd be air quality sensors. There'd be pollution sensors. There'd be water sensors and utility sensors. There's going to be traffic sensors. There's going to be every part of our life will be connected. In fact, I think we'll have trouble escaping it.
And yet it's brilliant and yet a little bit on the ominous side at the same time. Tony, thank you so much, man. I interrupted you there. Go ahead.
No. I was going to say it is. It's kind of, there is kind of a scary side to this as much as there is a beneficial side as well. Mm.
Tony, thank you so much. Your ongoing insight is greatly appreciated, and it's always a pleasure having you on the EndpointSecurity.ca podcast.
It's great to be here, and I look forward to our next outing.
Here at EndpointSecurity.ca, we are obviously very concerned with the safety and security of our customers, their businesses, and their data. But as our chat here shows, the concern can't end there. We have a blog that follows on from this conversation, and you can find it at blog.endpointsecurity.ca. As always, as you know, our close relationship with the experts at ESET means that we at Positive eSolutions have your back. So thank you again, Tony, for joining me today, and thanks to you for joining us as well. Stay safe out there, and be sure to visit us again for the next chapter in our ongoing series on cybersecurity for Canadian business. From Positive eSolutions, I'm Robbie Ferguson.